Winning the War on Christmas, Thomas More Society defends private rights to freely express religious beliefs in public squares. That is a press release that came out from the Thomas More Society. Right now we're going to talk with the founder and director of the Thomas More Society, and his name is Tom Brekka. For Vocal Point, I'm Jerry Newcomb. Mr. Brekka, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Very good to be with you.
Well, we enjoyed talking with Jocelyn Floyd, and she was explaining about the public forum and how that relates to manger scenes. And let's back up for a moment beyond Christmas itself and the nativity scenes and the fight over those. Tell us about the Thomas More Society, which you founded.
Well, Jerry, we go back to 1997. And it's a story that really began several years prior to that, back in 1986. I volunteered to defend a lawsuit that kind of took over my legal career. It started out as an antitrust case brought by the National Organization for Women. And
Joe Scheidler.
And, yes, Joe Scheidler.
Okay.
Was Joe's lawyer from the start. The case began in Delaware and then quickly moved here to Chicago, and I was on the firing line. I guess I started out in the safely in the background writing briefs, but the young guys who were out front asked me, they considered me an old veteran of the legal wars back then when I was much younger than I am now. And when they started taking depositions, I went out and took the lead. And my goodness, the case went on for, well, it just ended last year. It went on for 28 years, three trips to the United States Supreme Court, and up and down all three levels of the federal judicial system over and over again. And
by the way, for those not familiar with the case, maybe you could just describe it in a sentence. And also describe how the outcome was.
We won, Jerry, but it
That's
took
great.
Quite
28
a bit of
years.
Doing. I tell young folks now, when you defend these pro life cases, why you got to learn how to take a punch in the early rounds, and we took quite a few punches, but then only 4 years. I say only. The judge reversed himself and ruled in our favor, and we went up on appeal, and we won that appeal. And the other side, they'd added racketeering charges, which is kind of incredible. You know, racketeers, you always think of people who kill for money.
Yeah, well, mafia types. Again, though, I would ask, Tom, could you go ahead and just in a sentence tell us what the overall lawsuit was about? I know it's pro-life.
Well, it was about activism in front of abortion clinics. And, you know, back in 1988, 2 years into the case, a young fellow named Randall Terry started what became known as Operation Rescue. And there was mass civil disobedience, peaceful, nonviolent direct action is Martin Luther King's word for it in the civil rights movement, where Christians would sit in front of abortion providers and block the doors for an hour or two or three, and to save lives. And of course, this is trespass. But what the Now versus Scheidler case turned the screws up quite a bit and made it into antitrust and extortion and racketeering.
Wow.
And this kind of blew our minds. And it was a very novel theory, but one that a lot of judges have leaned the other way, maybe on the underlying issues, proved hospitable to this extreme theory. And it took us the three trips up to the Supreme Court to win. We won twice.
Wow.
The second Supreme Court appeal, we won 8-1, and that should have been the end of it. But the lower court ruled that the Supreme Court had overlooked something in the case. And so they really tried to overturn the Supreme Court. It was a good gamble, maybe, because they didn't think the justices would take the same case a third time. And fortunately for us in the pro-life movement, they lost their gamble. They took it a third time and reversed unanimously.
Hmm.
And then we were hung up on costs. We were awarded, you know, you only got out-of-pocket costs, not any legal fees. But my God, they fought tooth and nail on that, that's why even after 2006, when we won that last Supreme Court case, the case didn't end until last year. 28 years.
That is amazing.
So, yes, that kind of, it was too much for my law partners. They'd been very generous allowing me to spend so much time, but by 1997.
You had to go out on your own. And then, and that's thus the Thomas More Society. That's fascinating.
Well, yes.
You know, it's interesting when you look, stepping back and look at this overall issue, it's almost as if the First Amendment only applies to the left for the left and not to everybody else, you know?
Well, exactly. And I, you know, people ask, well, what kind of law do you practice? And I used to joke that I'm from Chicago, I do racketeering law, but really, my wife would say, oh, please don't say that, Tom, to these folks. But, you know, frankly, it was defending racketeering charges. But as you say, really, what we do is First Amendment law. We are sort of a Christian version of the ACLU.
Yeah.
And there's other groups like us, too, but there are not enough of us. And people say, well, aren't you duplicating? And the answer is, heavens no, we need more. We're an embattled, Christendom is embattled now. And not only against, you know, the ISIS folks out in the third world, and unfortunately here at home too, but very much we're embattled against, many of our fellow citizens who somehow now think religion is something that should be bottled up and sealed away within the four walls of churches and, you know, not to be seen nor heard. So, yes, we are entitled to stand in front of abortion clinics and peacefully urge couples to, and women headed there to change their minds and save their babies' lives. We're allowed to put up nativity scenes. These are constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to fight for them or we're going to lose them.
Well, may your numbers increase. In fact, let me go ahead and read a little bit from your own press release here and have you comment on it, okay? Last Christmas, here we get back to the manger scene here. Last Christmas, the Freedom From Religion Foundation and the ACLU tried to force Franklin County in Indiana to dismantle the privately funded and privately sponsored nativity scene that had been displayed on its courthouse lawn in addition to other private displays set up there from time to time throughout the year, every Christmas for over 50 years. By the way, Tom, I figured out what the ACLU's favorite Christmas carol is. It's Away with the Manger.
Away with the Manger.
No, not
I think Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Martin Luther composed that hymn. And
yeah, he composed Away in a Manger, but the ACLU's is Away with the Manger. So
I was going to say, I think he prefer his lyric to the ACLU's.
I do, too.
We've got to make sure that's the truth and that people, you know, observe our liberties. I see the guys, the Freedom From Religion and the Indiana ACLU, they didn't get it. They just assumed this was government funded and government sponsored. It wasn't at all. It was privately funded by a bunch of fellas down at the coffee shop on Main Street in the town in Franklin County, and that's their right of free speech. As much as anybody can get on their soapbox and spout their politics, they can get on the soapbox and preach their religious faith, preach the gospel message. And it's a message that needs to be heard.
I totally agree. It's interesting, though, again, going back to this idea, the First Amendment is abused by those on the other side. It's like the concept of free speech for me, but not for thee.
Well, exactly. And you know, maybe it's because we took too many things for granted for too long. We didn't really have to fight for a Christian America for so many years. It was taken for granted. And so the other side, of course, had been launching this war on Christmas, getting ready, preparing, you know, and we were, I think, asleep at the wheel. And so we're kind of on the rebound now. And I think courts are beginning to see that you know, a religious speech is should be free speech equally as any other kind of speech. And we've got to realize that free speech is not just for dissidents and, you know, the folks who want to overthrow the government. No, it's for folks like us. Hmm. Our voices need to be heard. And if we don't speak up, the younger generation is not going to hear our message, much less respect it and fight for it themselves. I think we're making inroads. I think these millennials, as the younger people call themselves now, are doing great things, and I'm much more optimistic than even in these difficult times than I was, say, in the early days of fighting the Nau versus Scheider case. I think we're building up momentum, and we just have to keep it up.
Well, I'll tell you what, just this week, I myself traveled to California, where there's a new law that is targeting the crisis pregnancy centers. And one of the persons I interviewed is a former heroin addict who was homeless. She went to one of these crisis pregnancy centers in order to get a free pregnancy test so that she could turn around and show that and prove to the Planned Parenthood, whom she would have to pay, for an abortion. But the people were so loving at the crisis pregnancy center, it touched her heart. It changed her life. She decided to keep the baby. She accepted Jesus Christ. Now she's working and you know, starting to develop a career from being homeless, a heroin addict. Everything has turned around because of this ministry of this crisis pregnancy center. And now, in the meantime, California is targeting these crisis pregnancy centers and harassing them. And some of them might even go out of, might end up having to shut their doors because they're going to force them to have to refer people to get abortions.
Right.
And it's just amazing, the spiritual battle that we're in. And I think you and your fellow Christian lawyers are on the forefront in fighting this battle.
Well, it's a battle that must be fought and fought aggressively. We're also out in California, Jerry, in the fighting for David DeLeiden, you know, with
the Center for Medical Progress.
Right, folks who put out the undercover videos. We knew David when he worked with Lila Rose, who
yes.
was a young lady from California. And when I talk about millennials, there's two of them right there,
yeah.
Lila Rose and
yeah.
David DeLeiden. And my goodness, what a real jolt they've given to our culture, knocking us out of our preconceptions about so many things and putting the evidence. You know, to me, it's very much like wartime Germany, where people kind of looked the other way and didn't know about the death camps. And, you know, we've got that situation here. It's not pleasant to talk about, but it's a kind of a grim reality I think we have to face and then act on. And here it is, these young folks that really brought it to light. And
that's true. You know,
and yet they're attacking David with racketeering again.
Yeah, as if he's a gangster.
Another racketeering case.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
I remember the first time that they did that, Time magazine said something like, you know, Mother Teresa, meet Michael Corleone, you know?
No.
You know, the idea of a pro-lifers being racketeers because they're trying to expose what's really happening in abortions.
Right, you know, it's just the curtain has to be lifted. It's unpleasant to look behind it, but we're not going to be able to eliminate these terrible evils in our prosperous American society unless we face up to them, and then that's the necessary first step. Mm-hmm. So, yes, as I say, we're on so many legal battlefronts these days, nativity scenes, Christmas. My goodness, here in Illinois, we just had this transgender, a self-described girl who really biologically is a fellow going into the girls' locker room. And now the school district has capitulated and said, okay, threatened with loss of their, $5 million in federal financing. I mean, there's another issue. Then the whole idea of, having to buy insurance that provides morally objectionable coverages, you know.
Oh, the HHS mandate.
Choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's just one issue after the other. And, You know, when I started practicing law, we used to argue about contracts and business and, you know, labor union negotiations. And my religion it certainly infused my life, but it was not a battlefront as it is now. And certainly, as I say, and as you were saying, we just need more inspired lawyering on these religious issues. And if we keep it up, and with the young people, I think hearing the Christian message maybe better than some of us did in our younger years, I think maybe the tide will be turning.
We're basically out of time. So thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it. No. And this has been Tom Breccia, B-R-E-J-C-H-A, Tom Breccia, and that's with thomasmooresociety.org.